Our Father, Thou art holy, and all Thy works are done in truth. On this new moon day, we with Thy creation praise Thy name, Yahweh. For as Thou commanded, all were created, and as Thou established the heavens forever and ever by a decree which shall not pass away, so we come. As Thou hast appointed the moon for seasons, which are for Thy worship, as a faithful witness of Thy covenant in the heavens, so we worship Thee as Thou hast ordained by Thy word. As it shall be commanded in Thy kingdom to come, in the new heavens and the new earth, that all flesh shall be called to worship before Thee, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, as Thou hast said by Thy holy prophets, so do we come before Thee this day, which Thou hast made, O Lord. We now willingly bow the knee and confess the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of Thou, our Father. Accept our humble praise and worship this day through the sanctification of the Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy only Son, our Mediator and our High Priest. Amen. I think having a good established prayer for the new moon is a good way when we have new folks come to be with us on the new moon, or someone who's never worshipped, that they remember that we keep a good Christian attitude and our hearts are focused on Christ, that we're not some kind of bizarre, strange cult, as many people would like to make us seem like we are. Let's sing a psalm from Psalm 100, to that tune at least. It's Psalm 148. It's our new moon tune. And I think we all have the tune well established. Hallelujah, from heaven's praise, Yahweh in heights praise to Him be. All ye His angels, praise ye Him. His hosts all praise Him, ye
appointed is for God. Christ to Israel, and the law of Jacob's God was this. To Joseph this, the testimony he made when Egypt went. He traveled through where speech I heard, I did not understand. His shoulder I from burning took, his hand from pots did free. Thou didst in trouble on me call, and I delivered thee. In secret place of thundering, I did the answer make. And at the streams of Meribah, of thee approved it take. O thou my people, give an ear, I'll testify to thee. To thee, O Israel, if thou wilt, but hearken unto me. In midst of thee there shall not be any strange God at all, nor unto any God unknown thou bowing down shalt fall. I am the Lord thy God which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. But yet my people to my voice would not attentive be, and even my children Israel, he would have none of me. So to the lust of their own hearts I am delivered. And then in counsel of their own they vainly wander in. Oh, that my people had me heard, Israel my ways had chosen. I had their enemies soon subdued, my hand turned on their foes. The haters of the Lord to him submission should have feigned, but as for them their time should have forevermore remained. He should have also fed them with the finest of the wheat, of honey from the rock that hill I should have made thee.
Amazing how far you can fall from just not remembering the new moon and the appointed feast. Because that's what the whole psalm is based on, is how far you fall just by forgetting God's word. Well, important stuff to remember. All right, well, we are going to go to the next page in our loose leaf handout, and we will look at the new covenant here. And we will have a convocation of those words of the covenant, and hopefully learn something from it, as this is what we're going to study today a little bit as well. So this is from Hebrews 8, 7 through 13, and also Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, and then the continuance is the pledge of the covenant, which is Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith,
behold, the day come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that that the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother,
saying, Know the Lord.
For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The pledge of the covenant, which is why we say this at this time for the new moon. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day.
And the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh,
then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Thus saith Yahweh,
if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath,
I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. So we will end right there, and we'll grab our Bibles, our King James Bibles, and we'll go to Numbers chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The book we've been in quite a bit this week, this month, I should say. It's Numbers. Not too many other people that study out of the book of Numbers. I've looked for some pretty good Bible studies on the book of Numbers. Can't find too many of them out there. It's just not something people get into. So we're going to go to Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be unto you for memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God.
Next,
just a singular reading. All right, well... I just think that's something I guess we should remember every new moon, why we do what we do. So we're going to have a little Bible study here, and we'll focus a little bit more on worship afterwards. I got a little bit something to offer in those ways. And then we also have our Athanasian Creed that we'll go over again this new moon. Now, on account of the liturgical calendar that we'd be keeping, and I'll print some more of these off, and when this becomes more normal to us, when we start keeping Sabbath by the moon and keeping the new moons and everything like that, people start to just kind of do it it's just what you do, right? And so if you don't kind of keep it in mind, you don't really think about the things God wants you to think about and what special things in history took place during the ninth new moon, which is what we have entered into. And so there's some scripture here that's just liturgically put here. That is, that we can learn the liturgy of the year through what the scripture teaches about that particular time, right? And so, while I don't know if there's much you can gather from it, but 1 Chronicles 27, verse 12, tells us that there was the ninth captain for the ninth month, and his name was Ebiezer. He was let's see if I can say that, Anatothite. He was a Benjamite. He was of the Benjamites, and his course was 24,000. And so we should remember every new moon that there was actually a captain appointed in the tabernacle under David
to lead the people. And so every month they took turns. It's just something I'm pointing out. Also, in the book of Jeremiah, one of the things I like to point out because of the differences of opinion on when the year starts and things like that, is that it says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, 22, that the king sat in his winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire of hearth burning before him. So it's a cold time of the year. Some people would maybe disagree with that. They don't, depending on where they're at. And so the ninth month should be a time of cold, or at least in Israel, it's going to be a time of cold. It's another thing to remember, to feel as if, to know where you're at and how you are in time. Because the word Kislew is appointed for the ninth month. The ninth month is called Kislew in the Hebrew, and it literally means a time of provisions and necessities. In other words, storage food. It's a time of storage food. And they didn't can back then. They dried stuff and fermented things and did stuff like that. So Kislew speaks to the time of provision. In other words, things aren't growing. So for those who celebrated a new year with all of the food, one of the traditional foods, just as disgusting to us as it might be and unclean, was pork and sauerkraut, because sauerkraut was a storage food. And so even the heathen used salted pork and sauerkraut as storage food, as Kislew, time, because it was a time of provision during this time of the year, where they call it New Year, though it's obviously not the case, because the New Year is in the spring, according to Scripture. And so, but at this time, it is a time of provisions. If we didn't have grocery stores and we didn't have things like that, we would be eating salted meats. If we didn't have refrigeration as well, we'd have salted meats and we would have storage foods that we were eating, sauerkrauts and things like that, like they would have done in ancient times. We'd drink a whole lot more alcohol, that's for sure, because wine was the way you stored your fruit and vegetables. And we'd be eating a whole lot more root crops and beans and lentils and things like that, dried wheat, bread, storage foods. And so I think that's really important to think about, because you can really tie that into the time of the year we are. We have nothing coming out of the garden right now and nothing coming out of the fields. So this is a time of Kislew, a time of provision that is needed, a time of necessities. And so I think one of the most important things in the fulfilled work of Scripture is Ezra 10, 9 through 12, which is what we've been studying lately, is out of the book of Ezra, chapter 10, verses 9 through 12, where it says, it was the ninth month on the 20th day of the month. So this is the 20th day of this month, that all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of the matter. And we know what that matter is, but we'll continue reading. And for the great rain, hey, we know all about that this last month. Let's see what happens this month. For the great rain. And Ezra and the priest stood up, and they said unto them, you have transgressed, and you have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. And then we are told, and all of the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. And so I do not think at all that anybody, very, very few people in our day and age, would appreciate this part of our liturgy, that it is God's good pleasure to separate yourselves from those you're not to be mingled with. And that is, it's exactly what Scripture says, do his pleasure. And so this is something that, because we don't mind following the words of Scripture, we can go there with the Scriptures. We can liturgically just walk through the Bible and see it for what it says, and then ask ourselves the questions about how this can be applied to us, and in what ways can we understand this better, and things like that. And that's exactly what a liturgy is supposed to be for. While the Catholic Church and others have really destroyed the concept by creating their own ways of doing things, this is exactly what the liturgy was meant to be for Christians, that we keep track of what the Bible says. Nehemiah 1:1 is another place you could go, which tells us of the beginning of this matter. So there's quite a bit in Nehemiah and Ezra's day of being said about this month. It says, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. And so this whole matter started in Nehemiah's coming to the situation, being appointed over it at this month as well. And so we're not given the day as to when that happened in Nehemiah's time, but this is another month to be remembered for that reason. And so I think that it's fairly important for us to keep track of these things. You know, it's just fairly important for us to put our minds in the places where the people of God, as it's contained in Scripture, put themselves so that we can have an understanding of the things that happen and kind of think about ourselves being in those situations as we walk our way through this month and as we continue looking at it. That's why I put the calendar together that I give out is exactly for that reason, so that people can use it as a study tool, as a learning tool. Jeremiah 36:9, which I should have read before 36:22. Jeremiah 36, verse 9. It says, it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before Yahweh to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. And they read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of, then read Baruch, he's the one that read the book, of the words of Jeremiah in the house of Yahweh in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of Yahweh's house in the ears of all the people. And I'll just end there and reading it. But what it seems like, normally when the Bible does not give a date to a specific event, it's actually happening on the new moon. So because if you read it in Hebrew, it would make more sense of that. It would say in the ninth Kodesh, which means the renewal or the new moon. And so it's important to notice that, because the scripture says in several places that I will turn your feasts into sadness and I will turn your joy into mourning and things like that because of the sin of the people. And it seems as if that is exactly what happened here in this situation, where the people were actually fasting on a day of celebration. They should have been happy and joyful, but instead, because of the calamities of their people and what had happened, there was actually a day of fasting proclaimed on the new moon instead of a day of joy and feasting. So that's something to think about. Those are all the lineup scriptures I have for this month. There's some others that you can find on the calendar as you work your way through it, if you want to take a look at it, from Haggai and Ezra as well. So you can take a look at that and think about it. And like I said, just as we go through different months, we should keep our mind open to what has happened, what renewals and what things we could learn from that situation. And so I think that's something that needs to be noticed, something that we should use it for, not just kind of commonly walk our way through life, not paying attention. Doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you feeling all right today?
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So renewed.
So renewed.
Well, let's sing Psalm 89C and D. So we sang C yesterday, so we're on D today. Psalm 89D. We should be pretty well acquainted with this this week, or this month, I should say. Last month.
I'll make him my firstborn more high than kings of any.
my love I'll ever keep for him, my covenant shall stand. His seed I by my vow will make forever to endure. And as the days of heaven is drawn, shall stable be and sure. But if his children shall forsake my laws and go astray, and in my judgments shall not walk, but wander from my way, if they my laws break and do not keep my commandments, I'll visit them their faults with rods, their sins with chastisements. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor false my promise make. My covenant shall not break nor change, what would my mouth I say? Once by my holiness I swear, to David I'll not lie. His seed hath run shall as the sun before me last for aye. It like the moon shall ever be established fastly, and like to that which in the heaven doth witness faithfully.
Hopefully that part of this psalm has more meaning today. And so we're going to have our historical lesson, which comes out of the Athanasian Creed for today, which we reserve every new moon for, to help teach these mysteries of the Trinity and go back through them and give thanks for the men of history who took their time to greatly devote themselves to these issues in council, and while we may disagree with some of their means of worship and things like that, they did not come together to talk about that. They came together to figure out one thing: how is it that the triune God functions, and what is God's message to us in Christ? So I think we can give thanks in exactly the Ephesians chapter 4 way for what God did through those men in history, regardless of our differences. So in the Athanasian Creed, whosoever will be saved before all things, it's necessary that he hold the uniting faith.
Which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly.
And the uniting faith is this:
that we worship one Yahweh God in Trinity, and in Trinity in unity,
neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, and the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but there is one eternal.
And also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son, Lord, and the Holy Spirit, Lord.
And yet not three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the united religion to say, there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made, nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another, none is greater or lesser than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it's necessary in everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by shaking of the manhood into God.
One altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, and rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he sits on the right hand of the Father God Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give account for their own works.
And they shall have done good, shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the uniting faith, which except one believe, they shall not be saved. And we will end here for today. And we're going to have a end in prayer, and we'll have lunch. Would you like to offer a prayer for us today?
Yeah, I'll pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the new moon. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just help us in this new month that's coming up, that you'd give us more wisdom, give us more knowledge, and more understanding to your word and to your scriptures and to apply it into our lives. Help us to bear much fruit for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to love one another. And for the work that we do, help us to work as if we're working for you, Lord, and to be honest in our work and to work hard as well. And increase our skill in the areas that we need it, Lord. Please help us. Just continue to pray for the people that are not doing so good health-wise. I pray that you'd help them, comfort them in this time, help them to trust in you and to not get anxious about wanting to do certain things, but to rest in you as they're in this period of life, God. And Lord, help us to be bold witnesses for you, to speak the truth, speak in love, Lord. Help us to have a respectful manner about us, Lord, but to rebuke when we need to, and to have mercy when we need to, Lord. Help us not be afraid of man, but to fear you. And thank you for this food that we're about to eat, Lord. Pray that you bless it. Thank you for the fruit that comes from the earth. Help us to be thankful, God, for the many blessings that you give us in this life. ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Very good prayer. We still got the Owsleys with us?
Yeah.
How you guys doing today?
Well, I don't know. It was like, I was reading it and I saw a Christian.
Well, I'm glad to hear you guys are doing all right. I'm looking forward to seeing you here in a little bit. Well, we're going to go get ready for some lunch, but you're welcome to listen in if you'd like to, and be with us in spirit if you want.
All right.
That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? All right. Hey, kids. Everybody's got to smack their lips while they eat for Sister Susan so she can hear you eat. One, two, three. Everyone smack.
Taco tastes good.
Amen to that.